Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've been worshiping you in music and song, in tithes and offerings, in children's stories. But now we come to your holy word, Lord, and we need a special anointing of your Spirit to give us understanding. For the Spirit of God gave us the Word of God to help us be like the Son of God. So please help us. Help us to catch a glimpse of what John was writing about and what it meant to him and how our tragedy can be turned into your triumph. It is my prayer and our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I liked that puppet demonstration, don't you think? That was kind of neat. Did you pick up on some of the emotions of the characters in that little puppet show? What were some of the emotions? Can you help me out? Scared. What were they scared about? The Romans. They got Jesus. Maybe they might get them. That's biblical, and we're going to see that in a moment. What other emotion besides scared? Excited. According to that version there, not John. See, when Mary first went to the tomb, she didn't believe in anything about a resurrection. Did she? They thought they took Jesus away. You know, these disciples were in despair. They were confused. The sunshine of hope had retreated in the dark night of despair. Do you know what despair is like? Do you know what tragedy is like? Do you know what it's like to be without hope for a while? When you say to yourself, this problem is so big, so bad, so awful, I can't see my way out of it. No way, no how. Anybody there? Three people. That's okay. I know you've been there. You don't want to admit it, but you've been there. And if you can just kind of grasp that disappointment, that sense of despair, you can enter into what they were going through. It's kind of hard for us to transport our minds 2,000 years or better and kind of get into their emotion, their sense of despair and sadness. But that's exactly what John does. He paints for us a tremendous picture of tragedy so deep, so black. And then he pictures for us the great triumph, the light of the resurrection of Christ. I want to talk to you about something today. I want to talk to you about grave clothes. What do you say? Does that spice up the dinner table or what? Can you imagine sitting around the dinner table saying, let's talk about what we're going to wear when we die? No, you're not. You just don't do that. In fact, we often don't want to talk about it because somehow we think if we talk about dying, right? We don't want to talk about that. But I want to talk to you about grave clothes. I want to talk to you about linen cloth. I want to talk to you about burial garments. Because that's exactly what John does. Because to John, the burial clothes are a symbol of his tragedy. A symbol of his despair. A symbol of his dark night. Where he said, wow, this problem is bigger and worse and badder. I know it's bad English. No way, no how. And before I get into the grave clothes, I want to just dive into this little thing called despair and confusion and try to transport our minds a little bit back to that time so we have a little drama skit for you, the young people put together. Perhaps it could have gone something like this. John begins his picture, his symbol of his tragedy. If you open your Bibles to John chapter 19, please. He begins drawing our attention to these linen clothes. Because, as I said earlier, they are a symbol of his tragedy. Now, I don't know what symbol you have for your tragedy. Now, maybe you like to take your tragedy and push it aside and not think about it, but perhaps you may have symbols of your tragedy because they've impacted you and you don't want to forget about them because of lessons that you've learned about them. But sometimes tragedy can be tough. Well, sometimes tragedy is tough. Period. So I want you to notice verse 38, John 19. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Did you catch the linen clothes? This is John's first mention of them. And you think, well, it's just a traditional thing. It just brings it up because of tradition. It was what they did. It's far more than that. He begins getting our gaze on it. He begins trying to get our attention on it. Because, again, let me emphasize, this is a sign, a symbol of his tragedy. Right? Now, when he was going through this, he didn't know about the resurrection, did he? Not yet. Boy, what a difference a day makes. Just a few days earlier on Sunday, what was happening? A triumphal entry. You know, a ticker tape parade. All the people were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were singing triumphantly and disciples were with Jesus. Wow! Now it's like a funeral. Well, it is a funeral dirge. Can you imagine the emotional swing? Tragedy. Linen clothes. You know? The whole lesson of the resurrection, in a nutshell, turning tragedy into triumph. What's it? Why did it happen this way? What's it for? How does it impact your life and my life? It gives us hope. Because if the tragedy of death... Listen, folks, not too many people are raised from the dead. Amen? You know, when you die physically. That's it. That's done. Finished. Right? But in this case, something miraculous happened. Death is not the final deal. The triumph of God comes forth. And if Jesus could die, yes, really, truly die, and be resurrected 3 days later, that means the power of God can break the worst enemy, the worst power, and that is death. Is there a greater enemy than death in this life? In this world, in this life, death, there's... Listen, the law of the tomb is sure for all of us. The law, you know what the law of the tomb says? Well, the law of the tomb says, the journey to the grave may be long for some. The journey to the grave may be short for others. But for all of us, it's certain. But the resurrection states, yeah, that's certain, but life after death is certain if you will believe. It is not the end. It is not the end. So let's go to the grave clothes. Let's pick up John's story, please. Okay? First of all, I just jumped ahead of myself. What does Mary notice, first of all, when she comes to the tomb? She's by herself. She comes in the dark. It's early Sunday morning, before sun rises, according to John. What does she see first? The stone is rolled away. How does she interpret that? He's resurrected, right? No. How does she interpret it? His body had been stolen. Is that quite a human reaction to something like this? Absolutely. You and I would pretty much think of the same way. See, they didn't know about the resurrection yet. See, the night of despair is still black, still dark. So she thinks someone stole the body. But the tomb was rolled away. Now listen, folks. I want you to turn in your Bibles to verse 19 in John 20. Verse 19. Follow with me. Then the same day, I'm in John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." Go to verse 26 now, please. John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." What's my point? Did Jesus walk through the door? Did Jesus crawl through a window? Can Jesus go through solid walls in his resurrected body? Could he? How do you know? Yeah, the Bible says he did. Do you understand that? No, you don't. Now, just because you might have seen Star Trek and they go, "Beam me up, Scotty," and you see these molecules and decomposition of human body, that's fiction. Amen? That's an imagination. Amen? We don't know how it happened, but Jesus was the Creator. Amen? And He walked into the room. My point is, why was the tomb opened? Because Jesus could have walked right through it. He didn't need to open the tomb. Amen? He opened the tomb so they could get in, not for Him to get out. That is amazing revelation right there. Because He opens the tomb, He wants them to get in. What does He want them to see? Bingo! The grave clothes. And under the inspiration of God, John points us to the grave clothes. And there's some special things about the grave clothes that just pinpoint the proof of Scripture that the reality of the resurrection is for you and me. The power of the resurrection is for you and me in our lives. Listen, folks. Seventh-day Adventists have been a little bit squeamish about talking about the resurrection. Yeah. You know why? Well, our Sunday-keeping brothers and sisters keep Sunday oftentimes because they do it in the honor of the resurrection. There's no biblical support for doing that, though. Am I right? What is the biblical memorial for the resurrection? There is one. Turn to Romans chapter 6. And this is not a sidetrack. I'm trying to make a very important point. Romans 6. Verse 3 and 4. Are you with me? There is a biblical memorial for the resurrection. And it's not changing it to Sunday. As well-meaning as a lot of our brothers and sisters want it to be. Amen? This is what it is. Or do you not know, I'm in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His? Therefore, as a result of that, We were buried with him through baptism. When you go into the watery grave, it's baptism in his death, right? Into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. There's the memorial of the resurrection right there. Amen? That's the biblical memorial for it. What's the biblical memorial for creation? Sabbath. You got me? Amen? And that's certainly creative power there for sure. But God wasn't changing any day of worship because of it. He was saying, get baptized as a memorial of it. Amen? Are you sure about that? Hallelujah! Can I hear amen?
Amen.
We can be sure of that. God's Word is solid and sure. We can have confidence in it. Okay. Back to the grave clothes. How many times have I said that? Ready? Let's pick up the story. Back to John 20. John chapter 20. Sorry, I turned to Luke. Here we go. Okay, so they all run. Let's start the story of verse 4. John 20, verse 4. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. This probably was John. Most scholars would pretty much say it was John. And he said, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. That was John. Now Peter. Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. You know, Peter was a doer, amen? He was a doer, that guy. And he saw the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. So you have two sets of linen cloths. And they're not just there. They're folded. All right? The first evidence of the resurrection was the tomb being opened up. The second is the clothes. The third is that they're folded. The fourth is that they're right there. Right there. How? What's so good about that? Because if it were a friend who came and took Jesus' body away, if it were a foe who came and took Jesus' body away, would they have taken the time to unwrap his body and then fold his clothes? Not likely. And some people, biblically, they blamed it on the disciples. They took his body. The disciples were scaredy cats. They were hiding. They didn't have the guts to go take his body. Not at this time. Am I right? So not only were the grave cloths there, but they were folded. Neatly. What's Jesus saying? I'm resurrected. My body wasn't stolen. There's no hanky-panky happening here. I know it's going to take some time because doesn't the Scripture say, verse 9, for as yet they did not know the Scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went home. But Mary lingers. Mary lingers. You see, she doesn't believe it yet. The only one who really believes it at this point is John. Why do I say that? Verse 8. Then the other disciple, that was John, who came to the tomb, went inside. And he saw and believed. Let's not be too down on them for slow to believing in the resurrection, because obviously that is not a normal thing. Right? So what happens? And this is critical and crucial for you and I. In the night of our despair, when our hope, sunshine, day of hope is turned into blackness, night of despair, here it is. Because Mary Magdalene doesn't believe, she's there. Let's pick up the story in verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And she wept. She stooped down. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels. Now she sees two angels in white sitting there. Do the other people see it? Some more evidence for Mary. Wow. Some more proof for Mary. Wow. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw standing there. But she didn't know it was him. You see, her night was so black, her eyes were so filled with tears, she didn't even recognize that it was Jesus. The Bible says she supposed it was a gardener around. Could you and I, in our no way, no how despair, miss Jesus? Is it possible? Have you? Huh? Probably you have. Probably I have. But he doesn't give up on Mary because she is. She's not believing. She sees angels. She sees grave clothes. She sees the tomb open. Let's pick up the story. Verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Listen, Jesus talks to her. She doesn't recognize it's Jesus. When does she recognize that it's Jesus? When he calls her name. That word. When she hears it, she recognizes who it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that word to John is symbolic of the triumph. The linen clothes symbolize the tragedy, but the words of Jesus and the resurrection symbolize the triumph. Why do I say that? Because I want you to turn, in closing today, I didn't even use any of my slides. But I'm going to in a second. In closing, though, turn to John chapter 20 again and go to the doubting Thomas. Are you with me? 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." You see, he's got to see it to believe it. And that's easy to do. It takes greater faith not to see it and believe it. Listen, folks, they had the physical presence of Jesus with them for 3.5 years. Then he leaves them. They're afraid. Right? Now, I want you to catch this. You and I are like the second generation of disciples, so to speak. We're Christ followers. We're believers. But we don't believe because we have seen physically. We believe because we have seen spiritually. And it takes greater faith to believe when you haven't seen physically. But it's more real kind of faith. And I think John tries to get at this when he says, when he quotes Jesus, verse 27. Watch, follow with me. He says, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands." Because Jesus appeared to them, right? "And look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And then here's the catcher. Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How do you believe today? What is the way? What's the medium? What's the process? Folks, you believe because of the Word. You believe because of the testimony of the Word. Testimony of other people because of what God has done in their lives and the testimony of the Word. It must be that way. That's the way God intended it to be. Though you have never seen Jesus, you believe in Him because of His Word. Because John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He died, and yet He's alive again. And if Jesus is alive again, that means you can overcome any situation with God's help in your life. If Jesus can overcome death, you can overcome whatever it is in your life with His help. You can turn your tragedy into triumph with God's power in your life. God's resurrection power. Living the new life in Christ. That's the point. One last thing. And I've got to just go to this real fast. That's kind of fun when you put these slides together, you don't even use them. Wow. It never even dawned on me. And that doesn't happen too often. You know me pretty well, don't you? Amen? There's Mary's despair. There's an angel. Here's the text I want to get to. There are souls perplexed. That's people. You, me, but people out there. Okay? As well. There are souls perplexed with what? Doubt. They're doubting. They're not believing. They don't know. Burdened with what? Infirmities. Sicknesses. Weak in and unable to grasp the... It's not that uncommon. It happens to us even once in a while. Amen? It doesn't have to too often though. Amen? We can do better. But a friend whom they can see coming to them in Christ's stead can be a connecting link to fasten their trembling faith upon Christ. That is a powerful statement. In other words, the resurrection power of Christ is not just for you alone. It's for others who need it. And you can be a conduit in which God reaches out in that light to dispel their darkness. You can be that. In some small way or big way, but we've got to do it somehow. Amen? There's a lot of tragedy in the world. Have you heard that Jesus can turn your tragedy into His triumph? Oh, how? Let me tell you. Praise God is right. Hallelujah, amen. Doesn't mean you don't have trials. It doesn't mean you don't have hours of darkness and doubt. It just means you're going to believe no matter what. You're just going to keep on going because you know God is real and God is good. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we just praise Your holy name for what a plan You had. And it unfolded perfectly. And we have been slow to believe at times. But thank You for helping our unbelief today. Thank You for helping us to see Jesus all over again, afresh, anew today. Thank You for the resurrection power that can work in our lives if we would just let You. If we would just linger around and wait for you to move, you can turn our tragedy into triumph. You can turn those dark nights into no ways or no hows to yes, Lord, you can do it. Help us. Help us to believe. Help us to see Jesus every day. Please help us to live His resurrection power by the might of Your Spirit in us. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.